And this past week, I had a little challenge with my computer, which those on the staff know computer technology is not my strong suit. And I had to visit the Apple store, and I had trouble finding a genius at the Genius Bar that could figure it all out. But I ended up spending a lot more time dealing with computer issues than I'd planned on. It really messed up my schedule. And I have to admit, that sort of thing bugs me, kind of irritates me. And I have to work hard not to let challenges like that throw me off course. I've learned this word triage, which is a medical term, determining, you know, what must get done and what can be moved to later. And I've come to realize that there's a time when enough is enough. You know, have you been there? Enough is enough. And it's just time to close the books, shut down the computer, maybe go for a walk, maybe go for a bike ride, sit in a quiet place, sit down long enough to allow God to speak in your life. Now, there'll always be people who go the other way, people who like to slough off things. But I think that working hard has been so deeply ingrained in so many of us here that many times we feel guilty when we're not busy. I mean, I think about people in line with their cell phones. It says, you just can't be. You've got to be doing something all the time. And it's so easy to get trapped in this pattern when we find our sense of self and our self-worth in what we do and what we produce rather than who we are and who we belong to. Working is good, but so is rest. So is relaxing, so is kicking back, so is enjoying what God has given to us. It's biblical. In our staff devotional this week, we talked about the need for margins in our life, for space to think and reflect and to absorb. Can you imagine what a book would look like if it didn't have any margins? You know, all of the words just crammed together. And that's how our life can get when there's no space, no margin for us. In the second chapter of Genesis, it says that on the sixth day, God finished up what he was doing and stopped working, took the seventh day off. It says that he blessed this seventh day and set it apart as special. He'd completed his work for the week and he stopped. I've often wondered what God would do if he'd worked on the seventh day. We don't know, do we? Probably counterproductive. But Jesus spoke about this seventh day, the Sabbath as it's called. And Jesus said the Sabbath wasn't made for God, the Sabbath was made for you, for people, for us. And he knew that it was part of how God designed the universe to work, and that work is a good thing and people need to work and create, but he also knew that God created us with this need for rest and reflection. We read in the Gospels where Jesus would grow tired of the incessant demands of his ministry and that he'd go off to a quiet place. He'd often withdraw from all the activities of ministry. And sometimes he'd go off and pray, and sometimes he'd go off with his disciples, his buddies, and play golf. Doesn't really say that, but I thought I'd see if you were awake. What it does say is that he and his disciples would withdraw. There's a passage that says they went to the other side of the lake. And I went, what did they do on the other side of the lake? You know, there weren't any microwaves and there weren't any fast food joints on the other side of the lake. So my guess is they kind of hung out and they started a fire and they cooked their food and they swapped stories and it renewed their souls. We too need the sense of balance. I once heard someone talk about this issue by saying that we need to pay attention to the gauges on their dashboards. I mean, you know those little gauges with red lights and needles, and we need to pay attention to them. You know, if the battery's low, it probably means your car is going to not start. If a red light comes on and says the gas tank is low, how many miles do you have before you run out of gas? For me, it's 25 miles. I know 26 doesn't work. But we kind of all know that. If it says your engine is hot, or the RPMs are too high, or the oil light comes on, warning, warning, We're in for trouble. And the manufacturers of our cars put these gauges on there for a reason. And I think we have gauges as well. What does it mean when you get really tired and you're dragged down? Might mean you need some rest. You need to withdraw. You need to step back. Or when you start feeling sick or have pain, it's God's way of telling you to pay attention to your body. It's how God designed you. We need to pay attention to these gauges and learn the discipline of building in times of rest and relaxation before the red lights start flashing. Otherwise, we end up doing great damage to our bodies and quite often our souls. Well, today in our scripture reading, the one text from the book of James tells us to be people of action, that faith without works is dead, that faith without works kind of worthless. It says if a brother or sister is hungry and needs clothes, don't just pray about it, do something. Doing is important. And then in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that there's a time. There's a time for everything, including rest. There's a time to work, time to rest. And the writer's not just talking about catching a nap. He's writing that there needs to be a time when we eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of our toils and recognize that these are actually gifts from God, and God wants us to enjoy these gifts. Those of you who are parents, how many of you love to see your children play? I mean, isn't that a great thing to... And I can remember this. It's kind of ingrained in my mind when every summer my cousins would all come over and we had this area around our fort that was like a mud hole. And it had rained a lot and all the cousins, my brother, sister, and I, were all playing and we're just all just covered with mud. And I remember looking up and seeing my aunt and uncles and my mom and dad just, they were enjoying watching their kids play. And isn't that a great thing? And I think God's kind of the same way. We're God's kids, and God wants us to laugh and smile and play and enjoy all these things He's provided. It's a healthy thing to be motivated and goal-driven and have passion and energy for life's calling. But according to Scripture, it's not healthy to be so focused and so driven that your lives become one-dimensional, that you become a little more than a work machine that has little joy. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes teaches us there are seasons to life, just as seasons change from summer to fall. Our lives have seasons as well. There's an ebb and a flow to life that's very much a part of how God designed us. We need to pay attention to those seasons. A really good friend of mine is a CPA, and he owns an accounting firm. And I can tell you without fail that from January to somewhere after April 15th, he doesn't have a spare second. But after tax day, he knows that he's hit the finish line. He takes a chunk of time off. He usually spends time with his family without guilt. He knows in their business there are many weeks where he's going to put in over 80 hours, but he also knows that if he does that over and over and over, over a prolonged period of time, he's going to do great damage to his body, to his marriage, to his kids, and to his soul. Sometimes I think the people who are driven by their work only feel accepted, acceptable to God and to others when they're working. That their only value is when they're being productive. That's not a good way to think. That kind of thinking is destructive, especially because it eventually will break you down, your body and your soul. One of the things that I've learned as a pastor that I just simply can't do what I need to do if I don't spend time disconnecting and finding time to spend with God. I absolutely need to do that in order to speak with any sense of authority. And while I get a certain sense of joy crossing things off my list, there are things that just can't be accomplished without withdrawing from the busyness of life on a regular and consistent basis. We need to disconnect ourselves from our phones and emails and find a quiet place. The Bible speaks of our faith as being like living stream that runs through our soul. But if there's no time for rest or reflection or time with God, that stream dries up. a pastor friend of mine who's exceptionally effective in his ministry came to a time in his life, it was about 15 years ago. He said, I got to get out. I got to quit. And he described it as a time where all the wheels in his life were coming apart, coming off. He often worked 80-hour weeks, missed his son's soccer games, his daughter's concerts, and he says, I feel like just this machine going from one assignment to another without a break, and he hit the wall, and he hit it hard. He was actually working on a wedding ceremony one Friday afternoon when he started sobbing uncontrollably. He was so busy doing things for God that his soul was on empty. And after going through an extensive period of counseling, he came to this conclusion, and I think this we need to all hear this. The way I'm doing the work of God is destroying the work of God in me. You ever feel that way? The way I'm doing the work of God is destroying the work of God in me. So today, as we observe communion, I want you to think about one other thing that Jesus said. You can find it in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So today, as you receive communion, think about the broken body of Christ and his blood shed for you, and let these symbols remind you of where you can find rest. That there is nothing that you have to do to prove to God that you're worthy. You are not, and I am not, none of us are. And that's why God's grace is so important. Grace freely given, not because you've proven anything to God, but because God loves you for who you are right now. Let's pray. Lord, help us to slow down, to pause, and to realize your love isn't dependent upon how much we get done. Help us to remember you love us so much that you gave your life for us upon the cross. Help us to hit the pause button and remember your love for us, a love that it's not earned but freely given. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.